Okay, so we are entering the Haftarah of Parshas Re'eh. This is the third week of the Shavda Nechamsa, the seven Haftaros following Tisha B'Av, where we learn the words of Yeshayahu. I'll tell you exactly where to find it if you're using a full Tanakh. We are in Nun Dalid of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 54. Yeshayahu is the beginning of the Nevi'im Acharonim. I also have a Yeshayahu over here, in addition to my Chumash. And what's big about these weeks is that, you know, a lot of the time the Haftarah, figuring out there are different opinions what the Haftarah might be, how it connects to the Parsha. But these seven Haftaros that follow Tisha B'Av are seven Haftaros that Chazal told us to read. And as we mentioned last week, the words of the Nevi'im, right? How many Nevi'im are there? There's a classic Yedios Klolios. What? So seven Nevi'os, right? And how many Nevi'im? Those are the 12 minor. Not that they were minor, just their books are smaller, by the way. There's a list of 48. The Gemara says 48, but then the Gemara says, wait, hold on. There are actually well over 48. There were, you know, double the number of people that left Mitzrayim, meaning aged men 20 to 60, meaning double 600,000, meaning 1.2 million. So there's so many prophets, so many Nevi'im. Why is it that the... I just don't want people to think it's only women's year now.
Shui, it's not only women's year. No pressure. But if one guy comes, then everyone will think, oh, true. Guys are there too.
He's an option. But no pressure.
And then you can leave once. No. So,
thank you for the invitation.
what's so big about these Nevi'im that we mentioned? So Gemara Megillah says that these Nevi'im, their Nevuos are Nevuos Adoros. Yeah, there are plenty of people who reached the level of prophecy, but there were only 48 men and 7 women who had prophecy that was not only, you know, talking about what's going to be in the future, but their prophecy was an everlasting message that we need to know. So because of that, the Haftaros in general, the words of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel in general are very, very important. But especially when Chazal told us, the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, read these things. The 7 weeks after Tisha B'Av, read these things. It's what Chazal want us to know, and not just what they wanted people to know a long time ago, what is an everlasting message for us. So it's really important that we delve into this. We're in here, and all these Haftaros are from Yeshayahu. All of them are the words of Nechama, right? Think after somebody passes away, so how many days of Nechama does someone usually go through? 7, right? 7 days of Nechama Velim. And of course, how many weeks do we have of this Nechama experience? Right, it's a macrocosm of the Shiva, of the death and Shiva experience. Tisha B'Av is this, what's called Mesa Mutu Lefanav, where it's as if just not to be too graphic, but that the dead person is right there, unburied, this aninus state. And after Tisha B'Av, we try to figure out how to move on. Right, that's what we spoke about 2 weeks ago in the Nachamu Shir. Were you at the... No, I know you were at mine. Okay, you as well? Okay. Okay, great. Welcome. Nice to have you in camp. So what we spoke about is that, you know, what changed between Tisha B'Av and the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, that all of a sudden big Shabbos Nachamu celebration, Shabbos Nachamu concerts and getaways and things like that. What changed? From Tisha B'Av, was the Beis Hamikdash built in the interim? Did you have like a nice uplifting Shabbos Nachamu? Yeah, a little bit. Why? What changed from Tisha B'Av when we were really, really sad? Hopefully we were.
Because we're like looking forward to like encounters being built.
Yeah, I guess an opportunity to reinvent.
Yeah.
An opportunity to change and to try and build for something better.
Right. So nothing in practicality changed. It's a perspective that changed. That we say, okay, let's look at it in a new light. in Tisha B'Av, we sit in misery and wallow in our failure, and we're sad, and we don't eat, and we don't say hi to anybody, and we don't want to talk, and I don't want to talk about it. I'm not, right now I'm not into talking. I don't say Shalom Aleichem to my friends. I sit down, I don't want to talk. Okay. After that, Hashem says, okay, I don't want you to do it forever. Nechama. Nechama, we try to move on. So we have 7 weeks of Nechama. Now, it doesn't mean, it's okay, it's all better, everything's good, don't worry about it. And don't even think about the Beis Hamikdash until the next 3 weeks. No, that's not what we're doing. It's, let's try to make sure that the next year, by the 3 weeks of Simcha, let's make sure that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is a Yom Tov, and Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov, and all the days in between are a really amazing 3 week Chol HaMoed. Can you imagine how many times we can go to the zoo? With 3 weeks of worth of Chol HaMoed, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to spend these 7 weeks and not forget how sad we were three weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av itself, not to forget that, but how do we make sure that we maximize it? We have a Nechama, a new perspective, a perspective shift, a paradigm shift, and how we can try to build and fix ourselves up. And of course, what's the end of the 7 weeks? What, the 7 week road, what does that lead right into? Right, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, renewing our relationship. It's not a coincidence that after the 3 weeks and 9 days in Tisha B'Av, that after Tammuz and Av follows Elul and Tishrei. It's not a coincidence. Nothing in the Jewish calendar is a coincidence. Could be nothing in this universe is a coincidence, but especially nothing in the way the Jewish calendar is arranged. So we're really urged to read these words and say, okay, Chazal felt like, okay, the third week after Tisha B'Av, we really think Klal Yisrael should be reading these words, these eternal words of Yeshayahu. So let's do it. So let's see what Yeshayahu has to tell us. Did you see the title of the shiur by any chance? There's the right. Yeah, you can come up. It's not that I have COVID that I ever over here. Usually there's a male chever also. So, and we still have hope. So the name of the shiur was what happens after the mountains crumble and the hillside fade away. Do you know what that's a reference to?
Yeah.
Everyone knows what it's a reference to. So I'll tell you what it's really a reference to, because you might actually know what it's a reference to. It's really a reference to a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Now that pasuk in Yeshayahu is found in Nun Dalid Yud, I believe. If you have your handy dandy Tanakh there.
It's not just a good song.
It's not just a good song. It's also a good song. Right? You see, yeah, everyone sees it? Nun Dalid Yud? How about that? Yeshayahu said it before Shlomo Natan Katz and before even Michal Shapiro, who wrote it. Yeshayahu said it. Now, I want to do what comes after, because the Haftarah starts with Yud Aleph. These words are actually going to be the Haftarah of next week. So a little bit out of order. Not next week. In Kiseitse. And Kisei saying, so maybe we'll be here in 2 weeks from now, or maybe not. Maybe we'll have to discuss it a little bit earlier. But in Kisei, the Haftarah is going to be the Nun Dalad Aleph all the way until this Pasuk. This Pasuk is the last Pasuk of that Haftarah. So we want to do what comes after that. What's the next thing that Yeshayahu was telling them? Because what we're trying to do is like balance a couple of different points. First of all, how Yeshayahu said what he said, but also what Chazal want us to read. So what's that pasuk talking about? The famous one, the pasuk Yud. What is it talking about when we say Heharim Yamushu V'Hagavos Timutena? When the mountains crumble, the hillside fade away, V'Chasdi Me'iteich Lo Yamush. My Chesed from you will not move. Who's talking to whom? What's going on here? Through Yeshayahu. So that's who's talking, right? And I think Eitan Katz, who was here for Eitan Katz when he was here just a few days ago, you were here. Not you just got here. Right? So it was great. So there's something I was actually thinking about. I knew we were going to get to this after, and I was thinking about this pasuk, and he said basically this thought. He put it into both terms. Well, I'm going to start with what Yeshayahu meant, Pashup Shat. He was saying, he's talking for Hashem. He says that the mountains will crumble, the hillsides will fade away, but my love for you will not move, will not be, you know, will not falter in any way. It's not going to move. V'chastimi, take my chesed, which is an expression of his love. Uvrish shlomi, and the covenant of my peace. Lo samut, amar rachamech Hashem. It's not going to falter at all. I'm going to show you, I'm the one who shows you mercy. I am Hashem. That's how it ends. Now, what was just said before this? So he talks about this terrible mabul that's going to come to the world. Ki mei noach zosli, asher nishbati, ma'avor mei noach. Hashem says, basically, or Yeshayahu says, Hashem is going to bring some destruction to the world. It's going to be like the mei noach. It's going to be this terrible, powerful destruction. Avor Hashem. Oh, great. We have justified the awkward position this year. Thank you. So Hashem says, I'm going to bring this terrible destruction to the world. But don't worry. There's going to be a lot of destruction, and there's going to be, and just like in the May Noah, right? The mountains and the whole you know, earth was shaken and torn apart and, you know, dug down into the ground through the powerful waters of the Mabul. But Hashem says, nevertheless, my chesed is not going to be removed from you. Hashem saved Noah and his family, and there were remnants of Korban Bayis Rishon, which Yeshayahu was talking about. Yeshayahu, interestingly, was prophesying about Korban Bayis Rishon, and he didn't even live to see the destruction of it. It was actually, he died well in advance of it. Yirmiyahu was the one who says, Ani HaGever, I was the one who spoke about it, and he had the most painful I told you so in history, where, you know, his word was vindicated, but it was painful for him that it had to be. Yeshayahu didn't have that. But Yeshayahu was prophesying about a future Chorban, and since the Chorban Bayis Rishon, we've also had a lot of other Chorbanos. Aside from Chorban Bayis Sheni, but everything that Klal Yisrael has experienced, up until and including this past year, and the past couple of months, like, we've experienced a lot of challenges, and Hashem says, or Yeshayahu says in Hashem's name, nevertheless, Haram Yemushu Ba'agos Temetena, but nevertheless, V'chasti Me'itech Lo Yemushu. Uvrish Shalomi, my bris of my shalom, will not falter. And that's where we end. So that's it. Okay, great. That's nice. Where do we go from there? What do we do with it? So that's where our Haftarah starts off. Continues, or starts, however you want to view it. You want to view it from Yeshayahu or the Haftarah this week. Nun Dal Yir Aleph. Ania So'ara Lo Nuchama. The Ania is a ship, a ship that's tossed around by the storm. Lo nuchama, that doesn't have a nuchama. It is an unconsoled. No, it's with a mem. It's a mem. Right? Hanacha would be or menucha would be a resting place. Nunches, but nunches mem or here seems to be a lashon of nuchama, of unconsoled. Anochi it's marbich. Marbitz bapuch avanayach visadtich basapirim. He says, I'm going to make your floors have like beautiful stones and pearls and things like that. And then it's interesting. Visamtich ad kod shimshosayich usharayach lavne ektach. I'm going to make like shimshosayich or like, let me, what does it sound like? Shimshosayich. Lashon of what? Shimshosayich. Shemesh. Right? So the Mepharshim say they're like sun windows. Like, imagine, we're talking about a ship being tossed around, there's no nechama, but there's going to be, like, sun windows. What does it sound like, a little bit? Something that we're just talking about. Like the Teva, Noah. And then also makes us think back to the Lashon of nechama. You also notice that nechama, it's not a Lashon of Noah, but you see the word Noah in there. He was just talking a few psukim earlier about the May Noah, and then he says that it's a Nia So'ara Lo Nuchama. Also, before Hashem decided to bring the Mabul, we mentioned this in the Haftarah Shir 2 weeks ago. So it says that Hashem had, right, a lashon of Nachem, he had reconsidered having created man. Hashem created man, he put so much effort, kavayachol, so to speak, into creating human beings, and then he saw what happened to them, right? What happened to man? What Hashem created man, it was very exalted, and what happened? What? They sinned. What do they do? If you retreat, good. Next generation? Murder, good. Next generation? Right, so the next generation is Enosh, that generation started worshiping Avodah Zarah, and then, but 10 generations in, there's Gilui Raos, Shichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, pretty bad things. There's Hamas, whatever that might mean, right? Robbery, or you know, there's different possibilities. So it's really, really bad. And the pasuk says Hashem has reconsidered having created man, which is a whole theological discussion for a different time. What that means, Hashem has reconsidered it. He changed his mind and says, you know, never mind. I'll take, you know, yes, backsies, and I'm going to destroy the world with a marble. So we see that word nun ches mem in Hashem wanting to reconsider creating like the world. And when Hashem brought the marble, and we see over here, we see this. There's an ania so'ara, a tossed around ship, lo nuchama, that doesn't have a nuchama. The same lashon, very interesting. And Hashem says, I'm gonna make it beautiful. I'm gonna beautify beautiful stones. V'chol b'nayich limudei Hashem, v'rav shalom b'nayich. That might be a recognizable pasuk over there. It's included, right? So Al Tikre Benayach El Bonayach. Has anybody ever heard that? I think there's also a song on it. Maybe it's a Shiva Boys Choir, possibly. There's a song on it, but it's also at the part of davening with Nusach Sfard every day at the end of Shacharis, and Nusach Ashkenaz. Is there Nusach Ashkenaz here? Everyone except in camp. So Nusach Ashkenaz at the end of davening on Shabbos. So you know that part that there's no way they say every word like by Ein Kelekenu and then. They get to that, right? So the same exact Inyan Friday night by Ben Madlikin, and there's no way. So the thing at the end we say this is this pasuk, v'chol b'nayach limudei Hashem, and al tikra b'nayach ela b'nayach. Don't read it as sons, rather as builders. Yeah, sounds a little familiar. Okay, so this pasuk is from over here, another famous pasuk, which basically means that what's going to happen, all b'nayich, all of your sons will be lumudei Hashem, learners of Hashem. V'rav shalom b'nayich. And there will be a lot of peace for your children. Now, what's this idea, just while we already mentioned it? Atik b'nayich ela b'nayich. It says, don't read the pasuk as all your sons, rather all your builders. What does that mean? Like we're changing the meaning? So wait, what about the later generations? Right, exactly. So really, what Chazal are telling us with that drasha is that not that there's a typo in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, but rather the word bonim, or let's say bonim and bonos, sons and daughters, is actually a lashon of bone, of building. Of binyan, that by definition, bringing a son and a daughter, children, into the world, you are building future generations. You are building a world. It's a very, very powerful thought. You know, you think, okay, I'm like, you're to Hashem. Everybody in the right time should be able to find the right person and be able to build a happy, healthy family of Yerush Shemayim. But you think, like, wait, it's like my little individual family unit, and you know, we'll have. You know, family barbecues, and grandparents and cousins, things like that. But no. You're building an entire world. Because if you think back, just think about a very, very influential person from 100 years ago, what they have created. Think about your great-grandparents, what they have created. So you're building. When you build your internal unit and you have the children, you're building an entire world. So it's atikir banayach el banayach. It's not, there's a typo, it's just don't only understand it as children, but it's entire world of building. Especially if we're talking to people who either left the teva or people who leave a mabul like experience, you have to move forward. In fact, is anybody familiar with the Maamar Chazal that when Noah left the teva, he was nervous about something? No, so Chazal said he did not want to restart a family. He didn't want to restart a family. Yeah? He didn't want to. He was afraid. That's why Hashem actually actively tells him the same commandment he already said to Adam and Chava, he tells us Noach again, because Noach says, there's no way. I'm not doing this again. That's part of...
Even though his family was...
What?
Like, his family didn't get to...
That's true. It's true. He didn't. Well, it's true. His family did survive, But whether they're going to procreate or not could be dependent on him. He's the patriarch of the home. His wife is the matriarch of the home. And if you know, if they are still physically able to bring more children into the world and they don't, it sends a message to, you know, the rest of the people on the planet, you know, the other six. What were you saying? If he was born yet. Right. Well.
You're saying that's reason to worry. Like I'm restarting humanity with this.
Like, right. Well, I think Chazal more of understood just based on the destruction they experienced that you know like it doesn't make sense to move forward. It doesn't make sense to try to accomplish anything else. And Hashem says to him, "No, Peru or Vu. This is what you're the world is meant to be inhabited. You survived. You're here. Let's take it to the next level." And I think that's what this pasuk is doing over here. And I think that's really this perspective of nechama that we're supposed to you know try to think about. It's not that you know you can't be like Noah. I really wasn't planning on like I have so much more to say, but like I was not planning on talking about Noah the whole time. But I'm just thinking about it now. The message to Noah and trying to put yourself in Noah's sandals, I think is just. Such an important idea because what he experienced, like we learn Noach when we're much younger, and so you know Noach built a teva, and like he was friends with all the animals except that one lion, and you know we don't really have a proper like perspective, like an adult perspective of like, so this man lost all of his neighbors, everybody in his community, yeah, a lot of them are rotten. He tried to get some of them to join his ship. They didn't want to. And he spent an entire year running an 8-person staffed zoo. Right? Sometimes camps have staffing issues. This zoo was the most poorly staffed zoo you can imagine because you have 2 of every single species on the planet and 14 of a whole bunch of common ones. And it's staffed by 8 people. Okay? That's a very, very hard zoo to run. And suffering for this year of darkness, being tossed around, they didn't have, you know, seasickness pills, things like that. Finally, after a year, they get out, and he sees destruction, he sees crumbs and dust of disintegrated bones of his neighbors. There's not a soul alive except for his 8-person family. And you can imagine someone getting depressed. And now it's not so crazy that the first thing he plants is what?
Vineyard.
It's not so crazy. And he says, I just want to roll over and die. Why do I want to continue to populate the world? It's like it's a much darker version of Noah, but that sounds more like reality when we think about it as adults. And that's something that you can imagine the generation post-Chorban, Bais Rishon, is thinking. So the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. That was their glory. And no one thought it would fall. Nobody could believe such a thing. No one believed it could happen. Yeshayahu would say it, Yirmiyahu would say it, and people would laugh at them. The Beis HaMikdash. We first of all, we've been sinful for years, we've been doing Avodah Zarah for years, we do whatever we want, there's corruption, and the Beis HaMikdash is still fine, and it's an impenetrable force, we're fine. And then it gets destroyed, and the leaders, some are killed, and some are brought in chains to Bavel. What a demoralizing thing. Yeshayahu told them it's going to happen, but he also told them in advance, but once that happens, don't give up. Because Heharim imushu v'agvos timatena v'chastim eiteich, that lo imush, that's not going to stop. But it's not a free thing, it's an opportunity, it's a little bit of space to move on. So when we come out of challenging situations, whether it's you know some of the national things that have happened over the last 2,000 years, or the last 70, 80 years, or the last year and a half to 2 years, or the last few months, we can't let that paralyze us in fear and make us just want to roll over and cry or roll over and worse. We have to use this as an opportunity to say, okay, but we're still here. Noach had to say, okay, we're off the teva, and the 8 of us are still alive. So what are we supposed to do? How do we move on? We're post Korban Bayis Rishon, so now what? What can we do? We're post Korban Bayis Sheni, now what? We're Baruch Hashem. If all of us are here, thank God, Bli Ayin Hara, we made it through, you know, a very challenging year and a half, and that's a machayah for us. That's something that says we need to do something, and we need to try to fix this world to get us to a state of perfection. And the rest of the Haftarah is going to talk about this kind of thing of bitzdaka tekonani, have, you know, be not just give tzedakah, but be righteous, be fair to people. And this is not, you know, it's talking about there's a lot of corruption at the time, but there's also a lot of corruption in our lives of, you know, showing favor to the wrong people because we're trying to get ahead, not giving enough attention to those who are weak or need help. And of course, we're all here in Camp Pasch, and hopefully, like, you know, we're trained to think in a way of being sensitive towards people with special needs. But it's also very, very important to people that people without special needs also have special needs, and people without special needs also deserve respect and attention. What are your positions here? Are you counselors, waitress? What?
Mother's
helper, yeah? Counselor? Okay, right. So for all these positions, lifeguard and media and head of vocational program. So, you know, every single person, every single department, and just on the planet, deserves respect and attention. Whether they're higher than you on the pecking order, food chain, or whatever it is, or lower, every single person needs to give proper respect. And that's a, you know, a form of corruption that we can avoid and actually rule out in our time. And there are many more points. Taking opportunities, he says in Nun Hey Aleph, Hoi Kol Tzamei L'Chulamayim. Like, hoi, you know how you translate hoi in English? Our school says, oh. But you could also say, ahoy, or things like that. It's like calling out. Anybody who's thirsty, come to the water and drink. Of course, water is always a muscle for Torah. So come drink Torah, taking opportunities. For example, after a long day, and it could be after another shir, 10:30 at night, coming to a shir, coming to learn Torah after a long day in the shtetl. So that's taking opportunities to come learn, to come drink from the water, try to grow, try to see what can you do to maximize, and that's really what we're in a time of. It's a time of nechama, it's a time of new perspective, and a time of building, and a time of trying to tear down the negativity that we've experienced, not from Hashem's end, but from our end. The message of these weeks is the ball is in our court, that we have the power. We as individuals and we as a nation have the power to make next Tisha B'Av a Yom Tov. Ball is in our court. We have to just come to the water and drink from the Torah, try to overpower corruption, but not be depressed because of the challenges of Tisha B'Av and everything that Tisha B'Av represents and everything we've been through. To be able to move forward, and Ritz Hashem, we should be zocheh to a time of banim and binyan.
Thank you.
Yeah.